I would tuck our children into bed, and I would sing.
Meow! Meow!
Pumful, pumful, Goldie Fair. Pumful, pumful, let down the hair.
Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and today a couple of silly love stories. One of them a rollicking comic take on the tale of Rapunzel with a moose puppet as the storyteller. And the other, a story about a butterfly in a search among all the animals in her neighborhood for a husband. And we'll start with that story, told for you by the Los Angeles storyteller Antonio Sacre. It's kind of a silly story, but even silly stories about love can say big things. This one I love because of the care with which our butterfly protagonist searches for a suitable companion, her search framed by a question about the children who aren't yet even born. Here's Antonio in the Appleseed studio with Martina the Butterfly.
Martina la Mariposa was sweeping her house. Sweep, sweep, sweep. She was sweeping her bedroom. Sweep, sweep, sweep. She was sweeping her kitchen when, sweep, clink. She looked down, and there on the ground, she'd swept up a silver dollar. This was a long time ago, when butterflies spoke and silver dollars were worth something. And she picked up that silver dollar, and she said, oh, what can I do with this money? I could buy so much. I could buy caramelos. I could buy chocolate. I would give the sweet maker the money. I would eat the chocolate. It would be so delicious. And the chocolate would be gone, and the money would be gone. And I'd have nothing. Huh. I could go to the dressmaker. I could give that money and have a beautiful dress. And the money would be gone, but I would have a beautiful dress. And that is what she did. And Martina, la mariposa, Martina the butterfly, put on her new beautiful dress. And she waited in front of her house to see who would see her. And sure enough, el señor gato, the Mr. Cat, came walking by. And Mr. Cat said, hola, Martina. She said, hello, Mr. Cat. He said, do you want to go for a walk with me? She said, maybe, tal vez. And maybe we would fall in love. She said, maybe. And maybe we would get married. She said, maybe. She said, but wait a minute, Mr. Cat. Before we went on a walk, before we fell in love, and before we got married, if we were to have children, how would you sing to them at night? Oh, Martina, if we went on a walk, and we fell in love, and we got married, I would tuck our children into bed, and I would sing.
Meow! Meow!
She said, oh, you would scare them. No, be gone, cat. And the cat went, meow, and the cat walked away. Well, sure enough, a little while later came the dog. Hey, Martina, you want to go on a walk with me? I love walks. Want to go on a walk? You want to go on a walk? You want to walk? She said, maybe. And maybe we could fall in love. Maybe. And maybe we could get married. Wait a minute, Martina said. Wait a minute. How would you sing to our children if we had them? Oh, Martina, if we went on a walk, and we fell in love, and we had children, I would tuck them in the bed, and I would sing. Oh, no, she said, that would be too scary. You be gone. And the dog was gone. And Martina waited. And all of a sudden, the rooster came walking down the street. And the rooster said, Martina, you're going on a walk with me. She said, maybe. And we're going to walk all the time, and we're going to fall in love. She said, maybe. And we're going to get married. She said, before we do that, how would you sing to our kids? I wouldn't sing to the kids. You would. She said, no thanks, Mr. Rooster. And Mr. Rooster was gone. And she waited for a long time. And all of a sudden, down the lane came a little pitter-patter, pitter-patter. It was a ratoncito Perez, Mr. Perez the mouse. Pitter-patter, pitter. She waited. He kept walking. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter. She said, hola, ratoncito Perez. Hi, Mr. Perez. He turned around. Hi, Martina. She said, do you want to go on a walk with me? He said, maybe. Maybe we could fall in love? He said, maybe. She said, maybe we could get married? He said, wait a minute, Martina. Before we go on a walk and before we get married, how would you sing to our kids? And she said, oh, wait, I'm supposed to ask you that. How would you sing to our kids? He said, no, you tell me how you would sing. She said, no, you tell me how you would sing. He said, no, you tell me. She said, you tell me. That went on for a long time. And they both started laughing. And he said, let's both sing at the exact same time. One, two, three. And they sang. Los pollitos dicen, pío, pío, pío. Cuando tienen hambre, cuando tienen frío. That is a Cuban lullaby and a Mexican lullaby and a lullaby that Spanish-speaking people sing to their kids to this day. And they both fell in love and they both got married and they planned a beautiful wedding feast for the whole entire neighborhood. And they were making their favorite vegetable soup full of peas and carrots and potatoes and onions and tomatoes. And she was cooking that huge pot. And she said, oh no, Mr. Perez, we don't have salt. I have to go and get salt. You clean up the house and don't get too close to the pot. Okay, Martina. And off she went to the store to get salt. And he began to clean the living room. Sweep, sweep, sweep. And the bedrooms. Sweep, sweep. And the kitchen. Sweep, sweep. Oh, that soup smelled so good. Ah, but he wasn't going to get too close. He was too small. But he pushed up a chair. He climbed up to the back of that chair. And he peered into the soup. And he saw the carrots and the tomatoes and the onions. And he fell into the soup. And he was gone. And Martina came back and she said, oh. She saw the chair and the soup. And she said, my husband, he fell into the soup. And he's gone. And she ran to the front of her porch and she started crying. And the cat said, why are you crying, Martina? She said, my husband is in the soup and he's gone. And the cat said, meow, meow, meow. And the dog came, cat, why are you crying? Oh, ask Martina, it's too terrible. Martina, why are you crying? My husband is in the soup. And the dog said, bow, wow, wow. And the rooster came, why is everybody crying? My husband is in the soup. And the rooster said, kee, kitty, kee, kitty, kee. And just then, Doña Pepa, the farmer, she came by. She said, why are you all crying? I said, my husband's in the soup. And Doña Pepa said, did anyone get him out of the soup? No. She said, why didn't you help him? And Doña went running into that kitchen. She got a spoon and she pulled out some carrots and she pulled out some potatoes and she pulled out a mouse that didn't look so good. And she took a little finger and she went boop, 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 and out came a pea. Boop, 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 and out came a little carrot. Boop, 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 out came a little tomato. And then he started smiling. Ah, throw me back in the soup. She said, And they all had a great big party and they lived happily ever after. And that's the story of Martina la Mariposa, the beautiful little butterfly.
That was Antonio Sacre with Martina the Butterfly. You know, I love in this story how Martina carefully chooses a husband based on how she feels like that husband will sing to their children, who, of course, aren't yet even born. Martina has the presence of mind to think about the future and not just the romantic present. It makes me think of some advice given to me as I was thinking about getting married. The advice came from my wise aunt, Annie. She lived far away. And knowing I was getting serious about settling down, she called me on the phone. And the advice that my aunt gave me was to say that she thought that getting ready to be married was a little bit like two people getting ready for a river rafting trip. A river rafting trip for which, because the boat was of limited size, you had to plan carefully what to take because you couldn't take everything. There had to be room for some important stuff of yours and some important stuff of hers. There had to be room for some things that would sustain you both on the trip, food and shelter and stuff like that. And there had to be stuff that would help make the trip safe and help you deal with the difficulties of the trip, life jackets and first aid kits and stuff like that. And there had to be stuff that would make the journey enjoyable, card games and books and maybe a musical instrument, stuff like that. But you couldn't bring everything, so you had to work together to decide on what was most important and what might leave you best prepared to face the challenges of an exciting and unpredictable adventure. I'll always remember that phone call from my Aunt Anne and that advice. If you've ever been in love, you know how hard it can be sometimes to see past the feelings of love and into some of the thoughtful plans that need to be made in the making of a life together. I can say that the river trip sure is worth it, full of adventure and fun and danger and exhilaration and challenges to overcome together. I wouldn't miss that ride for the world. But I am glad someone reminded me to take a minute to plan a bit, to think carefully about what might come, and to decide how to pack. And that's where Antonio's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? You know, at the beginning of our time together, we promised you a rollicking comic take on the story of Rapunzel by a moose puppet storyteller. It might even more accurately be described as a mashup of a couple of fairy tales you'll know. The moose storyteller is the puppet companion of storyteller Willie Claflin. The moose's name is Maynard, and he accompanies Willie on stages large and small all across the country and beyond, has for years. And in Willie's introduction to this story, he'll even tell you a little bit about how Maynard came to be part of the act. Here's Willie Claflin with the epic, if silly, love story, Rapunzel and the Seven Dwarfs.
Many years ago, I was living in the state of Maine and telling stories to my little boy who was 5 years old. And a neighbor came over and he said, Willie, I found this puppet at a craft fair. Now, this is way back in the early 1970s. This is actually the second Maynard moose. The first one wore out. I still have him, but I don't know if you ever read the story of the Velveteen Rabbit, but basically all his fur got loved off and his eyes came out and his antlers fell off, but he's still there. So I had him cloned, and I've had Maynard here, his clone, since 1980. Anyway, I did not know how on earth I would use Maynard to tell stories, because I'm not a ventriloquist, I'm not a puppeteer. So he just sat there in a little chair by the fireplace. My son, when he was two, he'd gotten this little blue chair, and it was a perfect fit for Maynard, and we named him Maynard Moose, which was not all that original, because we lived in the state of Maine. And he just didn't speak for a while. And then one day, my little boy came home from school. He's very upset, and he said, Daddy, somebody said something really bad about mooses, and I thought it would hurt Maynard's feelings. And I said, well, what did the kids say? And my son Brian said, I don't know if I should tell you because the teacher said it was inappropriate. I said, well, Daddy, unfortunately, had to hear many inappropriate things in his life. What did he say? And my son said, he said mooses were really stupid. I said, oh, gosh, that's a mean thing to say. At which point, Maynard came to life, landed in my lap, and began speaking instantly. That is not, I am not stupid. That is extremely inappropriate. I am extremely intelligible because I have gotten my education. So we asked him where he got his education, and he said, I go to Mother Moose Preschool. Every morning, little mooses come to preschool. And the mommy and daddy say, have a nice day. And we all say, no, I don't want to go to preschool. I want to go home. And the mommy and daddy run away, faft if they can go. And we have story time. And Maynard began to tell stories. And he told stories all the way through my little boy growing up. And then all of a sudden, when I was doing music concerts, because I did music mostly for many years, people found out about the moose and they asked if Maynard could come. And then I started doing festivals for adults and they said, well, couldn't Maynard come? And then Maynard started, well, he's got several recordings. He's got four award-winning books written by the moose. Written by this moose. So it's kind of an extraordinary story. And I wanted to start off with one of the first stories that he ever told long, long ago. This is called Rapunzel and the Seven Dwarfs. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, there was a girl with long, long goldy hair that drag out from behind of her on the ground, and kids run over it on their bicycles, and it got dragged through mud puddles and dragged through the village streets until it was full of little nastified wudgies of glop. So she wanted her hair clean. She went to the village witch. She say, have you some kind of magic to make my hair clean? Well, the witch tried everything. She tried spells and gels. a beehive hairdo, which was a mistake because a hive of bees came to dwell therein. Nevertheless, all that failed, and so the witch finally put her in a tall, tall tower to keep the hair clean. And every day she would call up to the window, Pumville, Pumville, Goldie Fair, Pumville, Pumville, let down the hair. And Pumville would let her long Goldie hair down, and Witch would climb up and give her something to eat, okay? One day came along a handsome prince riding on a snow-white moose. They hide behind the bush, and they see what the witch have done. So when the witch go away, handsome prince come to the bottom of the tower, and he try the same thing. Pumville, Pumville, Goldie Fair, Pumville, Pumville, let down the hair. But he did not say hair loud enough for her to hear properly because he did not want to make too much noise and have the witch hear and turn him into a toad or something. She thought he'd say, let down a pear. She fling big juicy pear out the window, splat, hit the prince on the shoe. He take out his little monogrammed princely handkerchief and wipe off his shoe. Try again. Pumville, Pumville, Goldie Fair, Pumville, Pumville, let down the hair. But this time, Rapunzel sneezed at the moment he said hair. She thought he said, let down your chair. She flinged the big heavy chair out the window. Boing! Hit the prince on the head. He is knocked unconscionable. All of his previous incarnations fly by his eyeballs. He wake up and try again. Pumville, Pumville, Goldie Fair, Pumville, Pumville, let down the hair. Well, this time, she hear him real good, let the hair down, he start to climb up. But there was a problem. He was a little chubby. He was kind of like a sumo prince. He weighed 512 pounds. When he start to climb up the hairs, he's so heavy, he slip Pumville right out the window. She goes sailing through the air, land in the duck pond, splash. Just at that moment, who should come back from digging gold in the mountain but the seven dwarfs. There was clumsy, snoozy, cheerful, fearful, hyful, hyper, hungry, ambidextrous, Griselda, and sometimes bewildered. There were 8 or 9 seven dwarfs. And when the 8 or 9 seven dwarfs see Rapunzel in the duck pond, they do not want her to drownify herself, and they pull her out of the pond and hide her away through the forest. Through the forest they go, they go. They go hide her away because they think the witch will be really mad she has run away. Well, they're running through the woods and running through the woods, but her hair gets snaggled up in a bramble bush, and she cannot move. Dwarfy don't know what to do. Only thing they can do is cut her hairs off. They shave Rapunzel bald as a bowling ball. Well, a full moon was rising, and the full moon shining into the shiny top of Punzel's head looked like a little crystal ball. Dwarfies all take a peek. Mirror, mirror in Punzel's head, if the witch alive or dead. A picture of the witch float into view with a double-barreled shotgun. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, say the dwarfy. Quick, 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 through the forest we go. And they take her to their little dwarfy hovel, and they hide her away. They say, Pumville, in the morning we have to go dig for gold, but you stay here, do not answer the door. Well, when the witch find out Punzel's runned away, she is extremely angrified. She's smashing the crockery and kicking the cat. I'll get you, Pumville, she say. So she put on a fake costume of an old rhinoceros. And she get a wheelbarrow full of poisoned watermelons. And through the forest she go, trying to find the dwarfy hovel, and every time she take a wrong turn, she checks her magical extra sensory perceptions, and pretty soon she arrive at the dwarfy's door. Knock on the door. Boom, boom. Who's there, say Pumville. It is me, say the witch, the friendly forest rhinoceros. I have some lovely poison, the lovely tasting watermelons. Well, Pumville was not too swift. She opened the door. Yum, she say. Watermelons, my favorite fruits. take a big bite from the watermelon, fall down dead. But do not worry, okay? She was not really dead because of the piece of watermelon stick in her throat. She just fall into a 100-year-long sleep. Well, the dwarfies come back from digging the gold. They're very sad to see Rapunzel in an endless sleep. Don't know what to do. Pretty soon they get an idea. They put her in a black glass box. Put her in a glass box, and they charge all the animals 25 cents to come and see the sleeping Punzel. Come and see the sleeping Punzel. Only 25 cents, and all the animals line up. Dwarfies make a lot of money. They open up a little hot dog stand. Sell lots of tickets. Don't have to dig for gold. No more. Dwarfies living on Easy Street. But one day, along came the handsome prince, riding the snow-white moose. The moose was not looking where it was going, trip over the glass case, and smash it to smithereens. Punzel, wake up, cough out the piece of watermelon, and wake up. And she see the beautiful, fuzzy, handsome nose of the snow-white moose give him a big kiss. My hero, say Punzel. And Punzel and the moose ride off into the sunset and live happily forever after. Oh, and the handsome prince, he go marry the witch, live in the tall, tall tower. They live happily forever after, and the moral of the story is, pay attention, this is why we tell you stories for morals, to read derange your behavior. The moral of the story is, if you have long, long goldy hair, and you, well, I mean, if you get flipped out a window, then what you should remember is, the moral of the story is, some stories got no morals at all. Thank you. Thank you.
That was Willie Claflin and Maynard Moose with Rapunzel and the Seven Dwarfs. Willie's take on an old story put us in mind of a song from another Appleseed performer, storyteller Paul Strickland. Paul understands that love can affect the heart of the person in love, but as you'll hear, it affects a whole lot more than just the heart. We've got a moment, so we'll invite you to enjoy Paul Strickland's song, I Love You With All of My Pancreas. Here's Paul.
This is a little song that I sometimes like to think that Rapunzel probably played for her two twin children. It's a little bit of an alternative love song. And it's also a little bit of an alternative lullaby. I love you with all of my pancreas, my liver, my intestines too. Most folks only love with all their heart, and while that's a fine start, it's just not enough parts to love someone as lovely as you. To love someone as lovely as you. You might think it's strange that I love you with things like my pancreas, liver, and guts. But the real truth is this, that is not the whole list. I love you with my ifs, ands, and buts, and my eyebrows and esophagus. My ears love your sounds, and my eyes have both found that they both love your smile and your wink. My armpits don't know you as well as they want to, but if they did, they'd try not to stink. I love you with all of my pancreas, my liver, my intestines too. Most folks only love with all their heart, and while that's a fine start, it's just not enough parts to love someone as lovely as you. to love someone as lovely as you. My spleen and my kidneys are all red with envy at how well my elbow knows you. My adrenal glands are all very big fans, and my vestigial organs are too. But I mean, what else do they have to do? My tendons and ligaments all think you're magnificent. My bones love you down to the marrow. My brain knows tonight this is lullaby. But tomorrow your smile will say lulla hello. I love you with all of my pancreas, my liver, my intestines too. Most folks only love with all their heart. And yeah, that's a fine start, but it's just not enough parts to love someone as lovely as you. To love someone as lovely as you.
That was Paul Strickland performing I Love You With All of My Pancreas. A funny thing to say, perhaps, to one's beloved. But did you ever express your love for someone you loved in a funny way? Like Antonio's Martina the Butterfly, was there ever a question that was important to you as you were looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife? Like Rapunzel in Maynard Moose's story, was the road to love ever a bumpy one for you? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We want to thank Antonio Sacri, Willie Claflin, Maynard Moose, and Paul Strickland for sharing with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. If you'd like more from BYU Radio, try listening to Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes. It's filled with mindful stories for your kids. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.